You are now listening to the Calcio Corner podcast with your host, Raffaele.
What's good? This is indeed the Calcio Corner podcast, where we cover all corners of Italian football and more. My name is Raffaele. I thank you for taking the time to listen to this, the 15th episode of the Calcio Corner podcast. Please subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, and Audioboom. You can follow my personal Twitter account. It is at Italiano Calcio. You can also follow the Twitter account for this podcast. It is at The Calcio Corner. So we will start off the 15th episode of the podcast by talking about some of the latest transfer moves in Serie A. We have finally had some conclusions to some long storylines that have dragged out for a while now. Juventus finally have their new striker, and Arturo Vidal has finally officially signed with Inter. We'll start off with Juve, the crazy striker carousel that had so many twists and turns on it. Not your typical carousel ride that just goes around in a circle. This one had a lot of twists and turns. If you think back prior to them even firing Maurizio Sarri earlier this summer, the favorite was Milik. They were set to bring in him from Napoli, a player that, you know, Maurizio Sarri was familiar with their time together in Naples. Once Pirlo got hired, Dzeko became the priority. But they had some difficulty reaching an agreement with Roma, and then they shifted to Luis Suarez once Barcelona was going to have this total makeover and get rid of these high-priced veterans. So Suarez became their top priority, but Suarez had to obtain an Italian passport, and there was a whole drama with that. And, you know, now reports have been emerged that perhaps he was being fed the information, the questions in advance, so there's an investigation regarding that whole thing. That's for a story for a whole other day. So once they had those passport issues with Luis Suarez, Juventus shifted back to Dzeko, and it appeared that they were all set to sign him. Dzeko was going to go to Juve, Milik was going to go from Napoli to Roma. Everything, for whatever reason, kind of fell apart. There were some issues with Roma and the health injuries of the knees of Milik, but then there was some talk that maybe, you know, Dzeko could still find his way to Juve, but that never materialized, and then Juve kind of pulled the switch. And they shifted to Alvaro Morata from Atletico Madrid. Obviously, we all know Morata had previously played for Juventus a few seasons ago. And in the end, I do think Juve actually ended up getting the best striker in Morata. And I don't mean best in terms of the most talented. I definitely think Dzeko and Suarez are more clinical goal scorers who probably would have ended up scoring more goals this season for Juve than Morata will end up doing. But I think, when you consider everything, you know, age, style, personality, fit, everything, I think Morata is the best choice. Again, not necessarily the best goal scorer out of those, you know, four strikers that they were in on, but I think when you consider everything, Morata is the best choice. If you recall, Morata, he kind of had a knack for scoring some big goals in his first stint with the Bianconeri. He didn't score a lot of goals for Juve, but he did have that kind of that clutch gene, if you will, something that, you know, Higuain, the most recent striker, was often criticized for not having. But Morata, he would score those big goals for Juve when they need it. He's only 27. He'll be 28 later in October. So he is, you know, significantly younger than Dzeko and Suarez. So I think this is a move more for long term. Although the structure of the deal is it's a 1 year loan. They have an option to purchase him afterwards. They could extend the loan for a second year, and then buy him afterwards. Either way, I think it would cost them about 55 million euro. If they ended up buying Morata outright from Atletico Madrid. So again, he's, you know, Dzeko, Suarez, they're both in their 30s. Morata's only going to be 28 later in October. So he's got a few years of youth on his side compared to Dzeko and Suarez. So I think he could be more of a long-term fix at the club. Pirlo knows Morata well from the time that they played together at Juve. So there's a comfort level between these two. So I'm sure Pirlo obviously had a sign off on this move. And kind of give his blessing for Morata. Now, you know, when you think of Juventus's attack, they're going to feature some sort of combination of Cristiano Ronaldo, Paulo Dybala, Kulusevski, and Morata. It's obviously a pretty good darn attack. If Morata plays quite a bit, I think he will obviously get his chances to score some goals, given, you know, the defense is going to give a lot of attention to Ronaldo, to Dybala, to Kulusevski. And Morata kind of could be that forgotten player in attack, no matter who's he's out there with. So, again, after all these twists and turns, I think Juventus ended up getting the right guy. It took perhaps a lot longer than they were expecting and what fans might have been hoping for, but what's most important is I feel they got the right guy. So Vidal to Inter. This dragged out a lot longer than most expected, but no one really thought it was ever in jeopardy of not happening. So Conte, you know, he gets another player he's asked for. He got Kolarov a few weeks ago from Roma, and it'll be interesting to see where Conte uses Vidal. I've read that Conte could consider playing him as the Trey Cortista. I'm not sure I would be in love with. I'd rather see Vidal play a little deeper. We know Conte doesn't seem to be a huge fan of Christian Eriksen, but I would much rather see Eriksen play as that Trey Cortista over Vidal. He's certainly a better playmaker than Vidal. But nevertheless, with this addition, I don't know how you couldn't look at Inter's midfield and say that they're the best in Italy, in perhaps in Europe. Even before Vidal, they were certainly the best in Italy. Conte, you know, he has a few players in his midfield like Vidal, Barella, Sensi, and they still do have Nainggolan. We'll see if they keep him. All these guys work extremely hard. You know, they're not afraid to make a challenge. They're not afraid to make that tackle. Not afraid to get dirty, to fight, to win every single ball back. And these are the type of players that Conte loves in his midfield. And that's kind of part of the reason why Eriksen, you know, hasn't been a mainstay in Inter starting 11 since he joined in January. He doesn't have that same mentality that those players have, that warrior mentality. Eriksen is certainly more offensive-minded. Not saying that's a bad thing, but when it comes to Antonio Conte and what he looks for, it's not going to certainly endear him to him. And it's why Eriksen has had some trouble being in and out of the lineup. I have no problem with Inter adding the experience and talent that Vidal is going to bring. Obviously, they want a challenge for Scudetto. We know that a lot of fans are disappointed that they didn't sign Sandro Tonali. But, you know, again, Conte's not looking long-term. Conte's looking very short and narrow-minded. He wants to win a Scudetto this season. He wants to start winning trophies now. And he feels like a player like Vidal, even though he's drastically older than Tonali, he certainly puts them in a better position, so I have no problem with Inter signing Vidal. We did see a player officially leave Inter. Diego Godin has officially signed with Cagliari. Godin, you know, he was injured for parts of last year. He never really made that full impact at Inter that people thought he could when he joined from Atletico Madrid. It's just been a crazy 2 years if you think about it for Godin. He went from being, you know, Atletico Madrid's captain to joining Inter and, you know, expecting to try to win and compete for titles here, or there I should say, at Inter, to now joining a club like Cagliari. And I don't mean any disrespect to Cagliari, but certainly when you think of Atletico and Inter and then the drop off to Cagliari, it is significant. So quite a past two seasons for Diego Godin. But in all, he'll be a good addition for Cagliari. They could certainly use more depth and leadership at that center back position. So I like this move for Godin. And obviously, Cagliari, Sardinia is a beautiful place to spend at least half your season when you're home. What is kind of ironic is Godin, he was coached by Diego Simeone at Atletico, and I was going to play with Diego's son, Giovanni Simeone, at Cagliari, so some irony there. And Antonio Candreva, he has confirmed on Instagram that he is leaving Inter. It's all expected that he will end up signing with Claudio Ranieri Sampdoria side, so that'll be fun to see how Ranieri uses Candreva. So who knows, by the time I record the next episode, you know, of this podcast, that move could be official. So Inter are certainly making some moves, bringing in players and having some players exit as we come to the, you know, the end of September here. All right, so moving on, I wanted to provide a quick preview of this upcoming weekend's Serie A action, round two. Two games in particular that stand out on schedule for me are Roma-Juve and Inter-Fiorentina. Roma, you know, they got to be kicking themselves, not the players' fault, but the club had issues with listing which players were in the squad list and everything, and that ended up costing them the game against Verona. For those who don't know, Roma and Verona drew last week. Roma earned 1 point. However, they had an issue with the squad list that they provided, and Verona ended up being awarded a 3-0 victory. So Verona got 3 points. Roma ended up losing the point that they had earned in the draw. So now Roma, you know, they enter this season with hopes for challenging for a top four spot, probably expected to win against Verona, and they had to settle for a draw in that 1 point, so they probably were a little disappointed from that, and now they end up losing that, even that 1 point, which, I'm sure they were disappointed about earning in the first place. Now they got to face a tough Juve side, and they could easily start the season with 0 points in the opening two games. Not an ideal situation for Paolo Fonseca's side, but again, they have to play the game. Who knows, maybe Roma could be victorious and pull off the win and get those 3 points. For Juventus, this will definitely be a better test for them compared to the Sampdoria side they played last week. So let's see how Pirlo does in game two. Everything went right for him in the opening round of Serie A. There was a report that Pirlo could perhaps have Dybala at his disposal as a second half substitute. As we know, Dybala continues to recover from the injury he suffered towards the end of next season, so that would be a nice little boost for the Juve side if Dybala is able to come in and give that side, you know, 15-20 minutes in the second half. Inter-Fiorentina, this will be our first look at Inter since, you know, their round one game was postponed. They were one of a few games postponed in round one. So this will be our first look at them. It will be definitely exciting to see how some of Conte uses his new players like Hakimi, Kolarov, and if he does end up using Vidal. I had picked Fiorentina to be my surprise team. And while I do expect Inter to beat them this weekend, this will certainly be a good first test for Inter, because again, I do think this is a strong Fiorentina side. So it'll be a good measuring stick type of game for Inter and also for Fiorentina. Like I said, I picked them to be my surprise team. So let's see how they do against obviously one of the strongest teams in Italy. You know, if Iacchini's side, you know, they could hang with Inter for 90 minutes. They could look solid. They could create some chances and not look totally overmatched. Even if they ended up losing, I think this would certainly provide some confidence for this Fiorentina side moving forward. So it's a good measuring stick for both clubs for different reasons, in my opinion. Benevento, they'll play their first game back in Serie A since their promotion when they absolutely dominated in Serie B last season. They face a Sampdoria side, and I see that this is definitely a game Benevento could win. I think, and give them some early confidence heading into the season if they're able to get this win. This is a much better and much more confident Benevento side than the one we saw 2 years ago when they made their Serie A debuts. They looked horrible that season. They were relegated. I actually don't think Benevento will be in danger of relegation. I don't think they'll be one of those teams with the final few games left on the schedule that will be battling to try to fight off relegation. I see them finishing somewhat comfortably in that 13 to 16 range of the table. I believe in this side. I think Pipo Inzaghi's done a great job with this club. Love some of the additions they've made with Glick in the defense, Lapadula and Caprari in attack. So I definitely think there's some experience on this team, some Serie A experience. There's confidence from last season, just how dominant they were. Yes, there's a huge difference between Serie A and Serie B, but I think this Benevento side is more than good enough to comfortably avoid relegation, at least in my opinion. You know, but for Claudio Ranieri and his Sampdoria side, look, no one's going to fault them for losing to Juve last week. That was expected. But as much as I think Benevento could win this game, this is also the game that Sampdoria have to look at and say, we got to get some points here. That definitely a win would be obviously ideal, but you got to at least come away with 1 point against Benevento. Some other good matchups, Torino-Atalanta. Torino, you know, they risked starting the season with two straight losses. Napoli will face Genoa. Genoa scored 4 goals, if you recall, against Spezia side, and Genoa look really good, but no one expects Spezia to be good. So just how real is this Genoa side? Were those 4 goals a byproduct mostly of a weak Spezia side? So we'll kind of get a little bit of a better gauge to see just where this Genoa side is when they face obviously a really good Napoli team. Unfortunately for Genoa, I think we're going to end up seeing the, you know, the real Genoa when they face Napoli. No way that Genoa side we saw against Spezia is the real Genoa. Let's see if Gattuso ends up starting Osimhen. We know he came on and completely changed the game and around the hour mark as a substitute. Or will he end up sticking with the combination of Insigne, Mertens, and Lozano? You know, those three played really well. You know, let's not forget Lozano. I know Osimhen got a lot of the credit after that game, but Lozano played really well last week against Parma. So, you know, Gattuso could just go with those same three front again and bring Osimhen on in the second half. Some tired legs on that Genoa side. Osimhen comes on with fresh legs and his speed and his ability and could kind of take that game over if that game is hanging in the balance. So those are, you know, just a few of the games that stood out to me for this upcoming weekend in Serie A. But we'll also have Cagliari-Lazio. That's a good matchup. Spezia-Sassuolo. Verona-Udinese and Crotone-Milan. Milan have a really good opportunity. They got 3 points in the first round against Bologna. They could easily handle this Crotone side, so they could have 6 points. Next week, they play Spezia, so they could have 9 points and a lot of confidence heading into the, you know, the big Milan derby against Inter on October 17th. So definitely a soft 3 games for Milan, but you got to take advantage of those if you want to challenge for the Champions League spot, so try to get those 9 points. They were dealt a blow that, you know, today as I'm recording this on Thursday, Zlatan Ibrahimovic tested positive for COVID-19, so that's tough for him. And the final game of this round will be Bologna versus Parma. That game is on Monday. So that will do it for the 15th episode of the Calcio Corner podcast. I hope you have enjoyed it. Once again, please subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, and Audioboom. Feel free to leave a rating and comment. That would be greatly appreciated to help us grow. Thank you to all those who have subscribed and listened to this podcast. And a special thank you to my patrons who support this podcast. Link to my Patreon site is in my Twitter bio. And until next time, guys, ciao.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Calcio Corner podcast with your host, Raffaele. If you've enjoyed this episode, please rate, review, and subscribe on your preferred podcast listening platform. We really appreciate that effort. Until next time.